welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Brother Nix and I had an eyeballing fellowship. I got the feeling that it kind of broke a little because I kept on talking to him. And but I thank God for him and your officers. Mr. Palliser, the Lord bless you. He told me who you were and what you do. How well you do it. Thank you so much. I had a chat with our musician here. I had to tell her that I'm not like these young preachers. They want the musician to kind of pick them up while they're preaching. Well, you got to pick me up before I preach. So don't. She knows I have a little understanding. She knows. I want you to walk with me a little while and listen as I stumble with my words and try to find some clarity. Sure we can walk together. And then when we leave here, we'll be better. Yeah. These wonderful ministers here. Wonderful ministers. And what is an African-American service without an African drummer? You've got to have that boy, let me tell you. It took some of us a long time to get used to the presence of a drummer. But he knew that our DNA would kick in. And we gotta have that rhythm, that beat. Got to have the drummer. You know, there's healing in the drums, through the drums. And the drummer in Africa, you go there sick. This is just a little side note. Feeling down, what he would do, he would check you out, feel your rhythm, feel your beat. And then he'll try to find your beat on the drums. When he finds it, they beat together. But he knows that your beat got to have some life in it. You understand that? You know what that's about. You know that he needs some life in his heartbeat, in the beat of his body, because your body got a beat. Did you know that? Your body got a beat. And a good drummer, a healing drummer, a therapeutic drummer, will find your beat. Pop, pop, that's a sick beat. Pop, pop, and he says, ba, 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 pick you up, ba, 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 ba. And when he gets you, he says, ba, ba, then he picks it up a little bit, ba, ba. But if you're slowing down, he'll say, ba, ba, he'll pick you up, he'll pick you up. And then he's controlling or enhancing, encouraging your beat. And it makes it so. That's from Africa. That's from Africa. This is why you got to have a drummer. A drummer. Because there is therapy in the drum beat. But it can also get crazy. So the drummer got to know something about Jesus, too. I love it. I want you to pray for me. My name is Gus Roman. I'm an old preacher. I'm retired. I've been retired since 2006. That's quite a bit. I've been retired, but I'm not tired. I'm not tired. I still have this fella calling me by the name of Arthur. Arthur. So I'm hopping, but God knows I'm not stopping. I made up my mind I ain't gonna stop. No, sir. I might have to crawl, but I'm not stopping. And I'm so glad to be here. Glad Brother Nick's thought kindly of an old man and say, come on over here and help us. So let's pray together, please. I need your prayers. My name is Gus Roman. I'm from the swampland way down in Louisiana. Oh God, you know me, you know me. You know me, you know all about me. You raise me. You raise me. They gave me up. They said I wouldn't make it. But you change their minds by changing my condition. And I'm just so grateful to you. So this is the day we remember that your son was raised from the dead. Holy Spirit, would you just have great presence here? You're already here, but a presence that will give us clarity, a presence that will give us depth, a presence that will give us meaning, resurrection meaning for our lives. So I've studied and I've meditated and I've prayed before now. But unless you do what you know how to do, nothing worthwhile other than a meeting and a speech. But we want a powerful word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I talked about a girl this morning. Her name was Mary Magdalena. She was the girl who had seven demons and met Jesus. And she was healed or exorcised. The demons were taken out of that girl. Her life was in bondage. She lived in captivity. She had no meaning for her life. There was no future. Every step was a step in the deepest despair. And one day she met Jesus. That made all the difference in the world. And she, with this healing and her love for him, she stuck with him all the way. She said, I can't live without you. And I know these Jews don't like the society, does not like to see women walk beside men. But the women and I made a decision. Susanna and Joanna and Mary, we made a decision. We're going to stick with you. We're going to care for you. The fellas, they do their best, but ain't nothing like the care of a woman. I mean, there's nothing I like. I mean, it's great that you want to do it, but you need to know that the touch of a girl, of a woman, is so much better. There's so much therapy in that. And don't give me a doctor unless you have a good nurse. I like that. I like. I like that. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, talk to the chairman. Let him know that. And she saw all that he went through and all that he did, how he healed people, how he fed the hungry, and he did so many wonderful things for people. And then you saw the crooks, the haters, and the people who were jealous of him, how they schemed. And eventually, that eventually resulted in his crucifixion. Man, can you imagine what that did to that girl? I mean, her whole life was around Jesus. I was nothing. I mean, they called me trash. Trash. I was all drugged out. All abused and misused, kicked around town. Then he showed up.
Yeah. All right.
And look what they did to him. Hey, where did they bury him? I'm going to be there. And she was the first one in the writings of John to discover the risen Christ. Couldn't have happened to a better person. Could not have happened to a better person. And I thank God that there is hope for all of the Mary Magdalenas.
Yes.
All my children who made mistakes and demons got a hold of them. I want all y'all to know, if you know somebody in captivity, in bondage, like Mary was, he's a great Savior.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And he'll get those demons out of you. So she had her experience and discovered, and as we went over the story, I ain't going over that story anymore. That he's risen. And she went and told the disciples. And I just wonder, you know, after testimony like that, after witness like that, Sister Pels, you would think that there would be a shout in that room. But they just heard it. They just heard it, and as if they didn't want to hear it from Mary.
Wow.
Look, listen, I'm reading from St. John chapter 20, and I'm starting with verse 19. The same day, that Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, that evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, oh my God. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace. That word peace is shalom. Shalom. Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, oh my God, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Wow. Ain't that something? Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted and unto them. And whosoever sin you retain, they are retained. Receive the Holy Ghost. But Thomas, one of the 12, listen to this. Called the twin or Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Somebody needs to hear that. And let's go to the next verse. And after 8 days, again, later on, after a week, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Shalom to you. Then said he to Thomas, Thomas, reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I stop there. That's a great story. And let me say this to you. Anything else I say will never top. My words, my feeble words will come and go, and folks will wonder one day what he ever said. But this word right here that I just read is going to be here for further reading. You get that? But you're going to forget what this old black boy said. But this word, I'm just going to share a few thoughts about this word that I read. Shalom, that's my subject. The resurrection of Jesus is about shalom, about peace, and a whole lot of other things. It's about life. But isn't it interesting that the disciples in their assembly frightened, the first thing that Jesus said to them was shalom. The first word that came from the risen Christ to his disciples. was shalom, peace. Shalom, peace. We got to find out what this means, this shalom. What it really means, what he was getting at. And it may be that we want the risen Christ to give us a shalom. Yeah, shalom. What does it mean? What does it mean? It means, oh, so much more than I can express. But for sure, it meant something special to those who were in that room, frightened, afraid. They were locked up. I understand being locked up in my own house. I understand that. I understand that we cannot leave our doors unlocked for a minute. I understand that. Because the boogeyman doesn't come just at night. The boogeyman operates in the daytime too. I understand what it is the youngsters are talking about Black Lives Matter. It looks like we have another wave of officers shooting our people. And mothers are concerned. Fathers are concerned. If they stop you, don't resist, don't run. If they stop you, do what they say. It looks like the fear factor is being intensified. Some of our houses are like prisons. Got triple locks on them. Got bars on our windows. Oh, Gardner Taylor, the late Dr. Gardner Taylor used to say, "You know, Roman, these days when I come back home, it's like opening prison doors, because I got several doors and many locks and many keys." There was a time my grandmother could sit on the porch down in New Orleans, sit on the steps. She and the lady would do a little gossiping and giggle and whatever. But we can't do that anymore. It looks like something thuggish has taken over. And we are in captivity. Sometimes to our own children. And sometimes the peace or the shalom word is not only about those Sadducees and Pharisees. It's not only about folks like whoever that number 45 is. That, not simply about those folks and crackers, and don't call folks crackers, and yeah, those segregationists, don't you call people names. No, it's not about. Sometimes it's right in our own home. Mama can't go to sleep because he's afraid that boy is going to go into a pocketbook or take some piece of furniture or something like that, go out there and sell it. The TV, just lost my TV last week. And I better not have an iPhone around. You see, the fear factor. And sometimes we need the shalom of Jesus to come in our own house.
Right. Amen.
where domestic violence is and children are being abused, where color purple is being repeated again and again and again and again. We need Jesus to show up. Not with a lecture. Not with a sermon. But with shalom. You get my message, don't you? You really get my message? That's the first thing he said, Sister Pelzer. That's the first thing he said to those disciples, all scared, frightened, locked up in that room. Shalom. Not a lecture in eschatology, not a lecture in the atonement. None of that. Just shalom. Because listen to me, sir. I cannot maximize the benefits that I have for you unless there is shalom. You can't get what I got for you unless there is shalom. You can't really hear me unless there is shalom. So the first thing Jesus said is shalom. And that's a good word. And one of the things we have to do in teaching our kids, teaching our families, and on the workplace, the job, wherever we are, whatever we do, is make sure you're okay. And you have the consciousness of his shalom. Listen, man, you can be sharp as ever, boy. You can have all the right words. You can be smart when it comes to hanging out, laying out things. But, man, your head can be a jungle where wild animals are. And your soul can be the subterranean waters of mean and ugly dragons. And you can be a lot of TNT about to explode. But he wants to say to you in that state of mind, shalom. I can talk to you now, mama. But I got his shalom. It means I'm giving you my presence. My presence ought to equip you, calm you, to deal with the nagging presence of fear, those demons that mess your head up. My presence with my shalom will put them in their place. What is it you got to say to the young people today, Jesus? First, I want to get started with them and simply say on this Resurrection Sunday, shalom. Shalom. Yeah, don't tell me about what your mama didn't do. Don't tell me what your daddy didn't do. Don't tell me that they don't understand me. What else is new? All of us been through that hell. All of us had papas who didn't have time to papa. All of us had mamas had loads on their backs that they couldn't handle. All of us had that. My mama lived in a jungle. My mama lived in bondage. Yeah. But thanks be to God, I got that shalom. Yeah. Yes, sir. And this trauma, I said the trauma. I can't say it on my own. I can't say it from my own power. But trauma, you going to get out of me. You're going to get out of me. You got a whole lot of heads messed up. You got girls who've been abused. You got boys who've been abused. You got us in this segregated society. We've been beaten and beaten and living from generational curses. A lot of us suffering because of what happened to our ancestors. I bear on my body bruises that came from his whippings, my grandfather's whippings. And it came down to me. But since Jesus came to my room, since Jesus came to my room where I was locked up, and said, peace. And he said, Roman, tell it the way it is. And I'm saying to trauma right now, no more. All right.
Hallelujah.
No more. No more. No more. No more. The curse stops. It stops. And I'm not offering any excuses to anybody. But I know in that room that was all locked up when I was afraid of the Ku Klux Klan, afraid of the Jews, afraid of the Sadducees, afraid of the Pharisees, afraid of the Herodians, afraid of all of them. When Jesus showed up, I said, no more. And that's what shalom does. Shalom helps you, enables you to say, no more. No more, no more. Brother, you've been knocking on my head all these years. No more. No more, no more. In this house will be his shalom. In this house. In this house. His shalom. And there'll be no more color purples. No, sir. No, sir. He came in that room and he said shalom. So it means that, it means that you ought not be preoccupied with your fear. You ought to stop worrying about this, worried about who's looking at you. Some of us got a complex, you know, thinking, why he don't like me? Why he look at me that way? Ain't nobody, that's all in you. I mean, you know, that's the truth, dog. I mean, we got these persecution complexes and think that everybody is against. Well, even if they are, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm 85 with my gray, but you'll be 25 with a whole lot of gray, too. Worried about what folks are saying. Who doesn't like me and who likes me and all of that kind of nonsense. When I have his shalom, I know how to deal with that kind of thinking. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do it. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. I'm not going to let it, no wicked eyeballing, mess my head up. I'm not going to persecute myself. I'm not going to lock myself up in a room. I'm not going to get in a corner and act like that's the only place I should be. No more. Shalom. That's what he said. Say shalom, shalom, shalom. Where did I come from? I came from the sticks. That's where I came from. I came from the sticks down in the swamp country. That's where I came from. I came from nobody in my family had an elementary, graduated from an elementary school. But I tell you, when I heard his shalom, when I heard his shalom, the devil said, what you got? What you got? Your mama didn't go there. Your daddy didn't go there. You don't know where your daddy is. Your uncle, who is your uncle? Where's your grandmama? You ain't got nobody to help you. How you gonna make it? I don't know how I'm gonna make it. But let me tell you something. I just met a way maker. I came from the swamp country all the way to the boardroom of General Motors. I sat there and I said, he brought me from a long way. And that's all because of that shalom of the risen Christ. I love it. It means that there's hope. See, when you say hello, good morning, that's fine. I'm glad you do that. But try shalom. But first, learn his shalom before you give me your shalom. Because once, Sister Pelzer, once you get his shalom, once you get his shalom, you will learn how to give me a shalom. You'll learn from him. You won't say one thing and mean something else. You won't look at me smiling and then when I turn my back, you start cussing me out. No. Those are hypocrisy gets away when you learn from his shalom. There's hope. There's so much in his shalom. And it's the shalom of the risen Christ. And you don't have to worry about these folks putting you in this room here. Got you scared here in South Philadelphia. People buying up everything. They call it gentrification. I don't know. It's another vacation. White folks have been good for creating vacations. Now it's gentrification. It was segregation. It was discrimination. Now it's gentrification. It'll be another vacation and another vacation and another vacation. But I tell you, if you have his power, if you have his shalom, I tell you, you can take South Philadelphia. I tell you, you can take this place. I don't know how God would do it, but I know he got the power to do it. I know he has the mind to do it. But what he's looking for us, the followers of Jesus, to go there and do what has to be done. We got genius in us. We can do anything that ought to be done, because it's not the color of a balloon that determines how high it goes, but it is the stuff that's on the inside. Do you have the stuff? Yeah, we can take over. Yeah, sure, we can take over. Those are dangerous folks in that room there. They didn't know the power they had. I mean, they didn't know the power they had, all locked up, scared. Peter said, don't talk too loud. Somebody might hear you. Put the lights down low. Put the candle down low. We can't let anybody here know that we're here. We scared. then Jesus shows up. See, you ain't got no business being scared. Do you know? Look at my hat. I'm the one. They thought they had me. They look at my hand. Look. Come on, touch it. See the prints of the nails? Look at my feet. Look at my side. Look at me. I'm the one they thought they had down. But truth crushed to the ground will rise again. And in the dim unknown, as dark in the shadow of places for many, God got truth ready to come out. And he's just waiting for us to come out of that scary cat room and take this place and show them a risen Savior. Said, I got the power. You saw me when I fed over 5,000. You were right there. You saw that. You saw how I multiplied a little fish and a little bread. That's power. You were there when the storms came on the Sea of Galilee and the wind started blowing and tossing the ship back and fro. You were right there when I stood up and I said, peace, be still. You were right there. You were right there when I raised Lazarus from the dead. Don't you know I got the power? And why are you so shut up in this house, in this room on Resurrection Sunday? You got the victory. To read, girl, just act like it. Believe it. Knock those doors down. Open those windows. Go out and live. Something said, you know you're 85 and you ain't got no business raising your voice like that. Well, let me say something else. He said peace to them, and then he breathed on them. Yeah. Honey, don't let him breathe on you. Don't you? I tell you, don't let that wind hit you. Don't let that, put something up there, don't let that wind hit you. Because boy, if he breathes on you, that's the Holy Ghost, you know. I mean, that Holy Ghost get a hold. James Cleveland said, something got a hold of me. Yeah, you can't let that happen. If you let him breathe, and then he said, I want you to know what breathing on you means. Receive the Holy Ghost. All that happened on Resurrection Sunday. I got power. You got power. He got power. I used to think only white folks had power. I used to think white folks were the only ones that had fire. And then I found out when the Lord blessed me. When I was all shut up in that room. And he came and said, Shalom. And breathe on me. And look at my hand. My hand look new. I look at my feet, y'all, and they did too. Oh, what a wonderful change has come over me since I met that man in that locked room. So I'm charging you, come out of that room. This is resurrection time. Come out of it. Child, you can be anything you want to be. You want to go to Harvard? Daddy ain't got a dime. Nobody finished college in your family. Not only Harvard, you can go to Cambridge. You can go to Oxford. You can go any place. Ain't no place you can go once you meet the man who said shalom on Resurrection Sunday. I'm packing up, y'all. I'm leaving here. I'm not gonna stay in this room all locked up and scared. I just met the man and he breathed on me and he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? And not only should I receive the Holy Ghost, but I gotta let the Holy Ghost use me. Oh, you can talk about him. You can have the breath. You can say, I met him one Monday night. But I tell you this, if he's not using you, if the power is not flowing through you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And that's what the day of Pentecost was. They had a Pentecost in that room when Jesus said, as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. And the power that the Father gave me, I'm giving you. And that power is the power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot separate resurrection from Pentecost. You can't separate resurrection from the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate resurrection from the power of God. So get out. Get out of those rooms all locked up. You're God's child. Do you know who you are? You're God's child. Even if they don't like me, because my lips are big and my hair is kinky, I didn't make myself. God made me. God saved me. God's using me. And I don't know about you, but wherever I go, I got to say, he's alive. He's alive. Say it to your daughter. Daughter! 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 He's alive. Get your neighbor by the hand right now and look your neighbor in the eye. Do that, do that, do that, do that, do that. Get your neighbor's hand. And said, neighbor, neighbor, he's alive. Neighbor, he'll make a way out of no way. Neighbor, he'll make your enemies your footstool. Neighbor, God is able. God is able. Neighbor, he lives. And because he lives. Say yes, say yes, hallelujah, yes, he lives, he lives. God bless you, God bless you. Thomas didn't make it. Thomas didn't make it. Somebody deal with Thomas next week. That's another sermon for next week. He should have been there. And folks who didn't make it today, when you see them, you got to tell them you should have been there.